All right, check one, check two. All right, it's time to start. It's time to start, man. We got to get her going. We got to get her going today. It's time to start. We got to be on time. Amen. If we start on time, we get out on time. If we start late, we go, ooh, it's bad. Bad. All right, we got some birthdays. Amen, got some birthdays. Very good. Birthday. You doing okay, man? Good to see you, brother. Amen. All right, got some birthdays for you. Let's see here. We've got Miss Consuelo Thornton. Her birthday is on the 7th. So that would be tomorrow. And then yesterday was your birthday? How old? 10. Happy birthday, man. All right, got a whole 10 up in here. 10 years old. That's big time. Right. Amen. And then Rick Purdy on the 9th. Rick Purdy's going to have Dallas. Going to have birthday on the 9th. All right. Any other birthdays? Got a birthday here. Got two birthdays I mentioned. Anybody else got a birthday? All right. Well, let's sing some happy birthdays, shall we? All right, brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, stand if you can. We're going to sing. Get all excited. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Amen. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. past my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Well, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Free! Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Free! Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come here today just to worship you, praise your holy name, lift you up on high. And Lord, we just thank you for all the visitors we have this morning. We're blessed with that. And Lord, we pray that they're blessed with the message. Lord, and we pray for our pastor as he presents the message this morning. We just pray that the Holy Spirit just touches each and every one of us, flows, and just puts a hand on us, Lord. Lord, if there's anybody out here today that don't know you, or in this church that don't know you, Lord Jesus, to come forward and give their life to you. And we give him all the praise and glory for that. And Lord, we just, you give us so much, Lord. And we just want to thank you for all you've given us, Lord. And just we give a small portion back. And we just ask you to bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
All right, Children's Church, be free. Amen. Yeah. Oh, he missed me. He missed Miss Marilyn. All right. Amen. Good to have Miss Marilyn back with us. They just keep coming, man. All right. Ron, did you get any sleep, brother?
A little bit.
A little bit. Amen, man. Amen. Well, Fred Redmond gets the Timex Award this week, amen? Well, Timex Award, what do you mean? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking, amen? Fred had him a TIA this week, a mini stroke, and he's here with us this morning, amen? So give him a round of applause, amen? That's huge. That's big time, amen? Very good, outstanding. Well, for the rest of you, are you ready? You think you hope so? Amen. Have we given our visitors a round of applause? We've got a lot of visitors today. Amen. All right. Well, let's dive on off in it. Amen. It's going to be a difficult passage, so might as well just get to it. Quit beating around the bush. Got to do it. All right. Let's invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. I'm in Colossians chapter 3. Those of you with us online, we've not forgotten you. It's so good to have you with us each and every service. And so, online folks, we love you, we pray for you, and we thank you for your prayers for us. Amen, amen? All right, tell those online folks we love them, y'all. Amen, turn around, wave, whatever you need to do. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Have you found that passage? All right, it's in the New Testament, one of Paul's 13 epistles, writing to the church at Colossae. This is what he says, beginning in chapter 3, verse 5. It says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew. Will you say that with me, distinction? There's no distinction there, right? No distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Let's say that together. Christ is all and in all. Amen. Verse 12. So as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We pray our hearts and minds will be open to receive it. And Lord, we're so thankful. Thankful today that we have air conditioning in this place. Lord, we pray for those that are without AC. Perhaps it's financial. Perhaps, Lord, they're out on the streets or whatever it may be. Lord, we pray a special prayer and hedge of protection around these people. We pray that you would help them get to cooling centers. And Lord, we pray that there would be neighbors helping neighbors and AC guys that have the time and the resources to donate and to help, Lord, help these folks that are so desperately in need of AC. Lord, we're thankful we have it. And Lord, we're thankful that most of our folks have it at their homes and their places where they live. So Lord, we just pray a special prayer for them today as this heat wave continues. Lord, we pray for those that do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray that through the hearing of this message, that you might prick their heart, you might convict them, Lord, and you might draw them to your side, and they might find themselves down here at the conclusion of this thing, taking my hand and asking me, could I explain to them what it means to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? So, Lord, we just pray you just keep on keeping on here with us. Thank you for using us in spite of us. Lord, ain't nobody here perfect. We all got the same struggles and the same deals going on. But, Lord, we're trying to be more like Christ each and every day. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, the title of this message is this. If you've ever had something die in the wall, if you've ever had something die in the attic, if you ever had something die underneath your car, if you ever had something die underneath your storage building, the title is this. Something smells like death up in here, right? That's the title. Something smells like death up in here. Now, as we get going here, trying to set the context for this passage, the Bible uses many metaphors to describe the Christian life. A common metaphor is the picture of taking off clothes and putting on new clothes. This is the imagery that we find in this passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 3. However, try not to take the analogy too literally. Clothes are simply external coverings, and the Christian life is concerned more with internal change, the internal change of the heart rather than external coverings. But I say that to pivot here. I'm making a pivot, and I'm making a beeline to John chapter 11. What are you talking about, preacher? Every miracle of Jesus contains a parable, and every parable of Jesus contains a miracle. In John chapter 11, Gospel of John, John 11, Jesus performs a miracle illustrating the spiritual truth of taking off the old clothes and putting on the new. It is none other than the story of Lazarus being brought back from the dead. You know how it goes. Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, they sent word to their friend Jesus to come when Lazarus was sick. But Jesus delayed for several days, and Lazarus, lo and behold, he died. And the disciples were baffled by this. When Jesus finally arrived in Bethany, both of the sisters said to him, "Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He would have lived." When Jesus saw their grief and the grief of others who loved Lazarus, the Bible says Jesus wept with them. And with his eyes filled with tears, Jesus approached Lazarus' tomb and gave instructions for the stone to be removed. Martha objected, saying, "Lord, by this time is a bad odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Now, I always loved or preferred the King James Version phrasing of this passage. For simply, the King James Version says, "He stinketh," right? He stinketh. Jesus said in that parable and in that miracle account, Jesus said, "Did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they rolled the stone away, and Jesus spoke in a voice loud enough to raise the dead. "Lazarus, come forth." Now, had Jesus not specified the name Lazarus by name, every corpse in the graveyard would have come back to life that day. At the sound of Jesus' summons, Lazarus comes stumbling and hopping out of the tomb. Preacher, what are you talking about? Stumbling and hopping. In those days, corpses, people that had passed, they were wrapped in long pieces of cloth that had soaked in spices. And when that stuff set up, it was almost like a cast around you, right? When Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was still wrapped in those stinking grave clothes. He couldn't talk, and he couldn't walk. He had received life, but he still had a problem. Those pesky grave clothes. Now, that's the story I want to use today to introduce this message that we're trying to bring to you. Lazarus had been given life when he was dead. That's a picture of salvation. Amen? Been dead, brought back to life. But he was still bound by those old stinking grave clothes. And this is the thing I'm kind of putting forth to you today. Many Christians today face the same problem. Jesus gives us life, but we still struggle with the stinking grave clothes of our old life. In some ways, we're like Lazarus. He was saved, but he still stunk. He was rescued, but he was still reeking. He was energized, but he was still entrapped. He had life, but he was not liberated. When we compare this story about Lazarus with our text here in Colossians, we discover the importance, friend, the great importance of getting rid of those old stinking grave clothes. Are you with me? 2 points today for you. 2 points. Point number one, time to get rid. Time to get rid of your old self. Time to get rid of your old clothes, right? And the ladies are thinking, are you hearing that, honey? Preacher said, time to get rid of my old clothes. I think I'm taking that credit card down to the mall this afternoon. Time to get rid of your old clothes. Look at verse 9 and 10 with me. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. When you became a Christian, you were delivered once and for all from the penalty of sin. In other words, you are forgiven, and you will never suffer the penalty of hell. Never, never, never. But while the penalty of sin is removed, the presence of sin is still a reality for us, right? And so Paul wrote this letter to believers who were still struggling with their old habits. And Paul speaks from experience because he described his own struggle in Romans chapter 7. When he said this in Romans 7 verse 15, he says, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate." Right? Then Paul said in Romans 7 24, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" And then Paul says in Romans 7 25, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." What's he saying? He's meaning that Jesus Christ is the only source of our help. Amen? So, writing to the church at Colossae, Paul gives two lists here, mentioning 11 different sins. Now, Christians should throw away, we're going to throw these sins away like old dirty grave clothes. We're going to get them out, we're going to get them gone. So as we go forward, Paul identifies these specific sins we should take off. So two lists, right? And when we tend to speak of sin, we often speak of general terms because we don't want to mess up and name our own sin. Amen? We speak of general terms, especially when it comes to sexual sin. Yeah, we speak in general terms there. But the Bible never blushes to mention sin by name. So the first list, what's the first list? The first list, we got to destroy, we got to take off, we got to do away with those old earthly urges. Look at verse 5 with me. "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." Got to get rid of what? The old earthly urges. The word for immorality comes from the Greek word porneia, from which we get the word pornography. Impurity means perverted sexual acts. When you see the word passion in your Bible, your translation may say lust. That means looking at someone and fantasizing sexual acts with them. Evil desires there in the Bible speaks of recurring thoughts about inappropriate sex. Notice the Bible adds greed to this list. It talks about greed. The word is actually the Greek word for covet. For covet. Remember the 10th commandment? It warns against coveting your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife. You can covet property or you can covet a person. Now, don't think when we see the word idolatry there in the passage, don't think that that's just bowing down before a statue or bowing down before some kind of totem pole. Idolatry puts any property, puts any pleasure, puts any person ahead of God. Does that make sense? Let me give you the first point of application. I tried to number these, and I got so many points of application, I thought, you know, I ought to save some of these for next week. But they just, you know, kind of spread them out, you know, just kind of deal them out. But they just kept on coming, so I just kept on putting them in. So application point number one, God does not want to be a priority in your life. He wants to be the priority in your life. That's application point number one. During the first century, sexual immorality was a pandemic. I mean, sexual relationship outside of marriage, and it widely accepted. And when you read about the sexual sins and the indulgences and the orgies of the Roman Empire, you can see the similarities with our own 21st century culture. Now, let me give you the news flash if you hadn't figured it out. You didn't create sex. God created sex. And sex is a bona fide good thing. And He gave everyone a sex drive, a libido, right? But let me give you the application here. Sex is like a powerful river that must be kept within the boundaries and the banks of marriage. Does that make sense? It's like a river flooding its banks. Whenever sex gets outside God's boundaries, there's always destruction, mayhem, and misery. Now, when I was growing up in the Ferramenta subdivision, we would take our Huffy bicycles, had the banana seat. Remember the banana seat on the bike? Yeah, man, cool. Then I got a bike. It was tricked out, man. The banana seat brace that went down to the rear tire had shock on each side, man. It was a slick banana seat. And we would put our flip-flops on and in our gym shorts that we'd about outgrown from the previous year. We're 12, we're 13 years old. And we would take off, man, riding our bikes all through the subdivision. And we would come bebopping out about where we'd all gone to elementary school, kind of on the edge of the sub. And if we crossed Main Street, it was real easy to cross there because there wasn't a whole lot down there at that time. If we crossed Main Street, we would cross Main Street and cross the railroad tracks, there was a convenience store. We could just cross. We'd be right here in the Fair Meadows parking lot, elementary school parking lot. We look both ways real good. Boom, ride as fast as we can, cross that four-lane road, right? And then, boom, go up over the railroad tracks, take a quick left, and we're right there at the convenience store. I can't even remember the name of the convenience store now, but it had that convenience store smell to it. You know what I'm saying? Back when there was newspapers and people spilled their coffee on the floor and nobody cleaned it up, and the slushy machine was always good. Can you just smell that cherry flavor, that slushy machine? Isn't it good? Amen? And we would go in there and we would cobble all the change we could, and we would buy our bubble gum and we would buy our popsicles and we would buy all that. And when we went to the counter, you know what we noticed behind the counter? We noticed that all the dirty magazines had a metal plate in front of them. Had a metal plate. You knew they were back there, but they were covered up. But friend, today, anyone with internet access, oh my soul, are you kidding me? You got a smartphone and internet access, you can drink pornography like turning on a fire hydrant and just blasting yourself. I mean, it's all over. pandemic. It's an epidemic out there. So let me give you the third application here. If you struggle with the stinking grave clothes or pornography, or you know somebody who does, there's help for you, and there's help for them. Now, we'll give you a website. The website is www.xxxchurch.com. XXXchurch.com. You say, preacher, are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you. This site is a Christian ministry to help people break free from the addiction of pornography. And the reason they call themselves the Triple X Church is obvious. They want their link to come up when someone types in Triple X into the search bar of their computer or smartphone. Make sense? Amen? So you may be feeling pretty self-satisfied right now, because perhaps you don't struggle with those kinds of sexual sins. But you better buckle up, Buttercup, because there's another list coming. There's two lists here. First list, destroy the old earthly urges. List number two, discard the old ugly practices. The old ugly practices. Look at verses 6 through 8 with me. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them aside, all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. You see that? List number two. And we see the word anger there. That's the Greek word thumos, which means a seething kind of anger that builds up pressure below the surface. And if it's not dealt with, it normally comes out as wrath, your Bible may say, or your translation may say rage. Wrath, rage. That's a violent outburst of anger. That's an overblown, big time temper tantrum, right? And then you see that word malice. Malice means having anger in your heart toward another person. And then you see that word slander. That's attacking someone's character. That's whispering behind their back, suggesting ideas that hurt someone's reputation. And then you see that abusive speech, or your translation may say filthy language. Friend, all you got to do is turn your TV on. Go to your social media stuff, right? Turn the radio on, social media, television, YouTube, whatever, right? All these streaming services, you can just turn them on. You will hear profanity. You will hear things come out of people's mouths that you're watching and listening to that would have curled your grandmother's eyebrows. I mean, it's just blasting 24/7. Finally, in verse 9, the Bible says we should not lie to one another. Shouldn't lie to each other. Now, this is the fourth point of application so far. We want to look at the two lists. The first list about urges, and the second list about practices. And we want to kind of compare and contrast the two lists of sins. We want to compare and contrast them. See, the second list of sins has to do with what we say or how we say something, right? That's what that's dealing with. And what's interesting is how quickly we can condemn someone from the first list, but we give believers a free pass from the second list. See that? That's called a theological double standard, I believe. I believe that's the term. A double standard, right? Now, I think this is right. I mean, I've been preaching it this way for a long, long time, so you help me if it's wrong. But God detests all sin. Yeah? All sin stinketh. Yeah? God wants you to get rid of all of it. Yes, yes? Now, sometimes we try to excuse our sin because of our genetic background. We try to excuse our sin because of our cultural background. We try to get a pass for our sin because how we were raised. I want you to look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. See, we don't get to do that. We don't get that pass. Verse 11 takes that pass away. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Why did Paul write verse 11 under the inspiration of the person of the Holy Spirit in the context of bad conduct? The reason is because we cannot use our ethnic background as an excuse for our behavior. You cannot say, well, I'm just Irish. That's why I lose my temper, or that's why I drink too much. You can't say that. You cannot say, I'm Italian. That's why I lust after women and I eat too much. You can't say that. You can't say I'm blunt and direct and I tell people the way it is, whether it hurts their feelings or what. You can't do that. You can't say that, well, my whole family does that and that's why I do it. You can't do that. You can't do that. See, we're fifth point of application. I haven't lost count yet. Fifth point. Don't miss this. We're new creatures in Christ. New creatures. What did I get you to say with me as we were reading this? Christ is all and in all. Amen? Amen? It reminds me of a funny story. There was a Jewish guy and a Chinese guy, and they'd both gone into a diner, one right after the other. And they were sitting about three stools apart at the counter. And they were ordering, and the Jewish guy's looking over at the Chinese guy, and the Chinese guy kind of, why is he eyeballing me, you know, type deal. And the old Chinese guy, bless his heart, he was kind of had his shoulder to the Jewish guy. He was trying to get his order all lined out, and he was talking to the waitress there. And the Jewish guy walked up to him, tapped him on the shoulder, and when he kind of put his menu down and turned this way, the Jewish guy just jacked him with a right. I mean, just hit him as hard as he could hit him. Knocked the guy down, his head hit the counter, he popped back up. He was like, what in the world was that for? The Jewish guy said, that's for Pearl Harbor. He said, man, I'm Chinese. That was a Japanese. He said, Chinese, Japanese, Taiwanese, it's all the same to me. Well, the guy was trying to loosen up his jaw and get his order in, and he thought about it, and the Jewish guy went back his three stools down, and he was putting in his order, and all of a sudden, it dawned on the Chinese guy. He got up, and he walked the few steps down to the Jewish guy, and he tapped him on the shoulder. And the Jewish guy turned and looked at him and said, what? And the Chinese guy slapped him as hard as he could slap him, and the guy's head whipped around, and he grabbed his face, and he said, what in the world is that for? The Chinese guy said, that's for the sinking of the Titanic. And the Jewish guy said, I'm Jewish. What does that have to do with the sinking of the Titanic? The Chinese guy replied, Goldberg, Feinberg, Iceberg, it's all the same to me. Yeah. Amen? It's all the same to me, right? This application here for you, friend. We should not make any distinction or give any kind of pass because of a person's background. It is Christ is all and in all. Amen? So that is getting rid of them old self, them old clothes. Point number two, time to put on your new self, your new clothes. Yeah? Time to put them on. The Bible says the Christian life is like putting on a new, clean set of clothes. Now, imagine for a moment, a little boy who comes inside the house after playing outside. He's sweaty, he's dirty, he's muddy, and he's happy. Amen? He's a happy little boy. He has that unique smell that only little dirty boys have. It's unique. His mother tells him to march up them stairs and to put on clean clothes before dinner, right? How do you think his mother would respond if he just went up to his room and put on his clean clothes over his dirty clothes? Oh, my soul. She's going to have a come apart. Ain't going to be a little discipline action going on in there, right? In the same way, we must take off the old clothes before we can properly change into our new clothes, or our new self. Well, how does it happen, preacher? Well, change involves a conscious decision. You have got to make the decision. Your self-will's got to click. You've got to hear the truth, and your faith has got to line up with that truth. And you've got to say, as verse 10 says, let me find it, and put on the new self. You've got to make that decision and put on the new self. Now, I'll tell you this. We are powerless to change ourselves. But we must at least be willing to change. We must be willing to change. We must make a conscious decision to take off the old and put on the new. And when you got up this morning, when you awoken from your slumber, you didn't just automatically find yourself dressed for church. No, you made a decision to take off what you had and what you had slept in. You made a decision to put on what you have right now. So the question is, are you ready and willing to make a change? Are you ready and willing to make a change? Because change involves a continual process. And this is where we kind of get tripped up with the Christian life. We sow that easy believism. We don't do it here, but a lot of people do. Sow that easy believism. And people come down, they get emotional, they bawl, they cry, they... And I'm not saying they don't get saved. I believe some do get saved. And they get that salvation experience, but they don't go any further with it. There's so much more. There's so much more than a Christian life, right? I mean, that's the beginning. But the Christian life goes forward from there, friend. Amen? See, change involves a continual process. Look at verse 10 with me again. And have put on the new self who is being renewed. Say that word with me. Renewed. Being renewed carries the idea of something that does not happen instantly. The putting on of your new self is not a one-time event. Rather, it is a process. Now, you would not dream of putting on a new set of new clothes and then wear them the rest of your life. You would never dream of doing that. No. Most people change clothes daily. Some people more often than that. Now, we cannot change ourselves. Instead, Jesus changes us from the inside out. Make sense? Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will what? Will perfect it until the what? The day of Christ Jesus." So each and every one of us in this place today, including myself and those folks watching us online, each of us is a work in progress. And the process is daily. A daily process. See, change involves discovering God's purpose for your life. Look at verse 10 again. "And have put on the new self who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image," everybody say image, "image, according to the image of the one who created him." See, when God first created people, he made them in his image. But we know how the story goes in Genesis. Sin and rebellion has marred, mucked up, messed up that image. And so the purpose of salvation is to recreate us in God's image again. And so the reason God saved you was not just to take you to heaven when you die. Praise the Lord for heaven. Praise the Lord for that fringe benefit of spending eternity with Jesus and God in heaven. Amen? But that's not the primary purpose of salvation, right? If that was the purpose of salvation, then the best thing we could do for a person who trusts Christ, we would say, are you sure you trusted Christ? Are you really sure? No doubts in your mind. Okay, look at that. Look at that sunrise. Look at that sunrise. I'm going to take two steps back. Look at that sunrise. And then we'd cap them, right? Send them on to glory. We don't do that. We don't do that, right? See, God's purpose for saving you can be found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29. You know this passage. Word of God reads, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become, here it is, to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. So here's the application, friend. God wants to change you every day and in every way to become more and more like Jesus. Amen? That don't mean that you're going to look like Jesus with a beard and long hair. Rather, the theological truth is that your personality will become more like Jesus. Your speech will become more like Jesus. Your urges will become more like Jesus. That's what this passage means when it talks about taking off the old clothes and putting on the Christ. Still with me? Yeah? So let's go back to the story of Lazarus where we picked this up at the beginning. Lazarus in those stinking grave clothes. The Bible says in John 11:44, the man who had died came forth. That's what it says. Lazarus' hands and feet, as mentioned previous, were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth was around his face. John 11:44 goes on to say, Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Can you imagine how frustrated Lazarus was when he was all wrapped up in those old, sticky, stinking grave clothes? A lot of churches make a mistake here. They expect you to clean up your life by yourself. They say when you get rid of those old grave clothes and start looking and smelling like a real Christian, then we'll welcome you. But the truth is, we all struggle with those old urges and bad attitudes from our sinful nature. We all need help. We can no more help ourselves than Lazarus could have extricated himself from his grave clothes. Now, Jesus could have exercised his divine power and said, poof, and the grave clothes would have disappeared and been gone, and Lazarus would have looked just clean, pristine. But he didn't do that, did he? The application is this. I think Jesus wanted to involve the other people. Involve the other people in what he was doing. That's why he said to the bystanders, unbind him and let him go. And fortunately for Lazarus, there were people there who cared enough to get their hands dirty and obey the words of Jesus and help Lazarus remove those old grave clothes. Make sense? And certainly someone took off to their residence, or someone had in their possession a clean garment to put around Lazarus as well. Yes? So, if you don't recall anything else from this message, learn the Lazarus lesson. The Lazarus lesson. We all need help getting rid of our clothes, and God calls us to help free others and show them how to dress. So here's God's message for you. If you're struggling with the urges of your flesh, or you find yourself consumed by anger and hatred toward others, then you need to get rid of those old clothes so you can put on those new Christ-like thoughts and actions. But you cannot get rid of those grave clothes alone. No. That's why the church is so important. That's why this church is so important. Our job is to do what those bystanders did to Lazarus, to help you get rid of those old clothes so you can put on the new. When I have the opportunity to stand in the gap for folks who come to me with sin in their lives, the last thing I do to them is condemn them. Now, I may be honest with them and tell them, you need to quit doing that. You need to stop that, or you need to start doing this. Maybe get honest with them, but I don't condemn them. So if you're struggling with some kind of a patterned, deep-seated sin, you got to find somebody to help you, friend. You can make the decision to stop. That is your decision, your self-will to make. But you got to find a trusted friend to pray with you and to hold you accountable. Amen? But I want you to look at this truth from another perspective. Do you know a Christian who is still struggling in their grave clothes? Don't just stand by and let them suffer. And please don't stand by and let them suffer and then criticize or ostracize them. Don't do that. Jesus is telling you the same thing he told those guys standing next to Lazarus. Unbind him and let him go. Unbind him and let him go. John 11:44. So, how should we treat people who call themselves Christians, but yet live like they were still wearing those old stinking grave clothes? Well, we should love them. Amen? And we should help them. Amen? Make that change in their lives. Galatians 6:1-2 says this, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Do you hear the grace in that? Do you hear grace in that? Amen? That passage just screams grace. Grace. So what's your need today? Back to you. Do you need to be getting rid of some junk in your own life? You can't do it on your own. Reach out to Jesus. Reach out to His servants. Do you need to be putting on the new life? Or do you know that do you know you need help to get set free? That's what I'm trying to say. Amen? Do you know that? By all means, what was the title of this message? Remember? Something smells like death up in here, right? By all means, get rid of those stinking clothes. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, we know this is a difficult passage to hear. Thank You, Lord, for the attention to hear it. And so, Lord, as we prayed earlier, we pray the Holy Spirit would take the Word of God and would reveal truth and convict and encourage and help and mold and make the body here today, Lord. We know the Bible washes us and helps us. And so, Lord, we would pray that washing would be going on right now. That cleansing would be happening right now. And, Lord, as we get ready to stand in a few moments and sing a hymn of invitation, there may be some that need to come to the altars and pray. And that's a good thing, Lord. That's a good thing. Lay that stuff down. Lay them old things down at the altar. That's a great thing to do. God, we want to be submissive and Lord, we want to be, we want to just do your will right here, right now. So if that's what's going on, we want to come and get in this altar and pray. There may be others, Lord, that need to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And in a few moments when they stand, that's going to be their opportunity to come down front and hear that gospel presentation. Lord, whatever it is we need to do, may we be faithful. May we be obedient to do it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Jeremiah's going to lead us in a time of invitation. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your afternoon and your lunch. And for those of you coming back tonight, we'll have a big time. Starting Leviticus 19 off tonight. And so we pray for your safety as you leave here. We pray that you take the Word of God out. Let's go to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for what you're doing in us and what you're doing with us, Lord. And Lord, we seek to be faithful to the Word that we've heard. We seek to share it far and wide, Lord, so may we be a testimony, and Lord, may we just point people towards Christ. Help us help each other find that bread, and may we share the bread generously as we go through this week coming up. Bring us back tonight, those that will be in attendance, and Lord, we just may we be able to say as we leave here, it was good to be together, it was good to be in your house. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right.